Hello, and thank you for joining Pastor Dave Tucker's podcast, Spiritual Living in a Chaotic World. We're glad you found us. Dave is the pastor of St. Timothy Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Bedford, Texas. Pastor Dave's messages are all designed to help you discover God in all circumstances of life. It's our prayer that you'll enjoy today's program. There will be information on how to contact Pastor Dave at the end of this podcast, so stay with us. And now, here's Pastor Dave.
Today we are continuing our sermon series, That's What He Said. And we're on part three, and the final part of this thing I've subtitled Shenanigans, because there's a lot of shenanigans going on in our lectionary readings as we go through. People trying to trip Jesus up, but not just any people, the religious leaders. We have studied so far how the Jews during Jesus' time were kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. On one side, they had Roman oppression, who were literally oppressing them and making sure they walked the line and talked the talk and did the things they had to do to pay homage to Rome. And we talked about how the religious leaders tried to trip Jesus up and try to get him in a big tangled mess between the religious leaders and the Romans by asking, who do we pay our taxes to? And we talked about Jesus looking at the coin and says, well, whose image is on the coin? So, and we talked about how the Jews wouldn't even keep money in their pocket because of what it represented, whose image was on the coin, the Roman emperor. So they're caught between the oppression from the Romans. They were also caught from the oppression of a corrupt religious system. You had these people that were grabbing for power and trying to make sure that the Jews, God's chosen people, were walking the line and talking the talk and doing what they needed to do and keep in line. And so you had these people of God right here in between these two forms of oppression. And it was a difficult place to be, I'm sure. And Jesus addressed these oppressions from the religious side in our last three sermons that I entitled Shenanigans. I've always wanted to say that from a pulpit, shenanigans. Anyway, today is no different. We want to be the red letter Christians, don't we? We want to follow the words of Jesus, and so we want to understand what Jesus is saying, and Jesus has some more hard words for us today, and we'll kind of look at that, and we'll roll into the communion service and the remembrance as well. So let's bow our heads and pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to be with us today as we open God's Word. Loving God, thank you so much that you are in this place of worship. But you're not just here. You're in each and every home of those watching. We are told that where two or more are gathered, you are there with them, and we claim that promise. Wherever we are, wherever we sit, we ask that the Holy Spirit be with us as we learn the words of Jesus and discern what Jesus wants us to know and how Jesus wants us to live. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our scripture reading today is found in Matthew 23, 1 through 12. Matthew 23, 1 through 12, we're kind of traipsing through the Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus said to the crowd, see, up to this point, it was always somebody else starting the conversation. This is Jesus starting this conversation. And I can just see Jesus just sitting there and all of a sudden looking up and saying to the crowds, Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it. But do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. They make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at the banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplace, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be the servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of God for the people of God. So as we look at today's scripture reading today, we see that Jesus, again, is still addressing the shenanigans of the religious leaders. As we unpack today's scripture lesson, there are a few things that came to mind for me as I was studying this that I would like to share with you. There are things that stand out as important that I want for us to take away with us. And there are journal prompts at the end, and we'll kind of go through those at the end. First of all, in verses 1 through 3a, we discover that Jesus was a faithful Jew. Jesus was not trying to start something new. He was not trying to tell people don't follow the Jewish traditions and customs or any of that stuff. In fact, he was telling the people, follow what the religious leaders are teaching you, specifically the scribes and the Pharisees. So he was not trying to start a new movement. He was simply trying to reform the Jewish faith. And we as Cumberland Presbyterians understand that word reform, right? Jesus practiced Jewish law and customs. And in today's reading, he encourages God's chosen people to do the same. With one caveat: do not do what they do. Listen to them, follow what they say, but don't do what they do. That was Jesus' admonition. Jesus says the religious leaders don't even follow their own instruction. They do not practice what they preach. And I'm going to throw out a word that maybe has been abused a lot: hypocrites. And maybe we use that word too often. But this is the purest form of hypocrisy. Merriam-Webster defines hypocrite as a person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs or feelings. They say one thing and they do another. So as I was exploring this, going deeper in as preparing this sermon, my question that I ask, because it's okay to ask questions of the text. Do you agree with me? There are some things in the Bible that make us say, I wonder. And we read things in context, and we read things and we read commentaries and what other people say about things. And it's okay. That's what God wants us to do. We give God glory when we ask questions of the text, do we not? And so I dug deeper and I asked myself the question, I asked the text the question, what exactly were these religious leaders doing that was offensive to Jesus? And I found three, and let's unpack them one by one. Oh, and by the way, in a nutshell, not to deviate too much from what I've been preaching in this series and since I've been in this pulpit, the problem was, in a nutshell, about love. And I want us to understand one thing real quick. Think of our relationships with God and others and ourselves as a triangle, the perfect trifecta, right? And Martin Luther King Jr. talked about this, and there may have been other people that talked about it as well. But there's a thing about when one angle gets out of whack, it messes everything else up. In other words, it's a trifecta: love God, love others, love self, right? As long as we have this perfect triangle, we're okay. What was happening was the religious leaders were loving themselves more than others and was creating a skew, was messing things up. things have to be in balance. And the only and so if you love yourself more than other people, then you're narcissistic and things go bad. When you love others more than you love yourself, that's problematic. Then people start to abuse you and use you, right? If you say, I love God more than anything else in the world, I love God more than humans, or then what happens is we become oppressive. And we try to put our standards on other people because God said this and you're supposed to live by my interpretation of, you understand what I'm saying? We have to keep things in perfect balance. The triangle. So these are the things that, so the thing that they were lacking was love. The bottom line, they loved themselves more than anybody else. They were grasping for power. The first problem was that the religious leaders placed undue burdens upon their followers. That was the first thing that Jesus mentioned, that they placed undue burdens on their followers. An example of this is found in John 9, 1 through 34. And I would encourage you to read the story. It's a wonderful story. Story of a blind man from birth. And again, we talked about, you know, why is it that sometimes scripture leaves out the names? This blind man was not named. But it's about this unnamed blind man, blind from birth, and how Jesus restored his sight on the Sabbath. And here's how this thing plays out. And it's incredible to me. It makes my head explode every time I think about this. Instead of the religious leader saying, wow, you were blind from birth and now you can see, that's a great miracle. They didn't do that. What they did do was they started saying, hold on a minute. This happened on Sabbath. What in the world? A beautiful miracle. And they were hung up on the day that the miracle was performed on. And the weird thing was, they went after the guy that was healed. They said, who healed you? Well, this guy, it came. Jesus disappeared after the healing, if you read the story. And how were you healed? Well, he put mud on my eyes. He said, open your eyes, and I could see. And they asked him several times. And to make a long story short, what winds up happening is they take this guy that was healed, they make him the scapegoat, they kick him out of the church, they excommunicate him because he was healed on the wrong day. That's messed up. That's one example of some of the things that the religious leaders were doing to oppress those who were under him, under them. By contrast, Jesus frees those who feel burdened with the weight of sin. Listen to the words of Jesus in John 11, 28 through 30. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. That's a neat promise, isn't it? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The second problem is found in verse 5 of today's reading. The religious leaders loved to be noticed by others for their righteousness and piety. Again, a word that's been absconded and made bad. Piety, pious. Not a bad word. Pious, God wants us to live good and holy lives, and piety says that. You're a pious person, you're holy. So the sin isn't the piety. What Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, 1 through 4, if we go back a few chapters, this is what he says about piety. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. He didn't talk against piety. He just said, don't do it where people can see you. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. I like this part. So whenever you give alms, whenever you give your offerings, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Can you just see that? These religious leaders in a parade with a trumpet ahead of them, and they're putting their offerings in the plate so everybody can see it. That's ridiculous. Jesus says, truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms or your tithes or your offerings, do not let your left hand know what the right hand is doing, so that your offerings may be done in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I'd rather be rewarded by Jesus than other people, wouldn't you? Jesus was a perfect example of this humility when he told several people, and I often ask the question why on this, but Jesus throughout the scriptures would occasionally tell people, don't tell anybody I just healed you. And I often thought, why? Did he not want people to follow him? I think Jesus wanted to heal as many people as he could. I think Jesus wanted to share God with as many people as he could. He just didn't want people to know that it was him. And of course, that never happened. Every scripture I read where Jesus says, don't tell anybody. People go and they tell everybody. This Jesus healed me and I can see, I can do, I can walk, I can... Good stuff. The third problem that I see is found in verse 6. The religious leaders would put themselves in places of honor and would demand respect from others. And yet, according to Philippians 2:5-8, we are admonished to be of the same mind, to let the same mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. And just before the Last Supper, we find a story of the disciples, and they were arguing. They were in the upper room before Jesus showed up, and they were arguing. Who's going to be the best in the kingdom? Who's going to get to sit in the left, and who's going to get to sit at the right of Jesus when Jesus sets up his kingdom here on this earth? And they were fighting. And Jesus came in. He took off his outer garment. He put a towel around his waist. He got down on his hands and knees with a basin of water and washed the disciples' feet. And I'm not talking about just took their socks off, shoes and socks off. These disciples' feet were filthy. He washed their feet. He washed the feet of the one that was going to betray him 3 times. He washed the feet of the people, of the person who is going to actually give him over to the authorities to be crucified. That's love, folks. That's love. That's humility. That's the example that we should live by. I'm not talking about the little wristbands that we wear that say, what, WWJD, what would Jesus do? We can't possibly live. That's not what, Jesus doesn't want us to live exactly like him. And it's become such a trite saying anyway, what would Jesus do? Well, okay. But yet, how can we make Jesus a part of our heart and soul so that the things that Jesus did, we'll want to do too. We'll want to serve other people. And as I stand here in this pulpit, newly ordained in this church, and as you're watching online, I'm going to just say it right here and right now. I am your servant. If you see Dave Tucker up here, I'm not doing my job. I want you to see Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm pointing you to Jesus. That's the way I see my job. I'm pointing you to help understand the love and grace of Jesus Christ, who loved so much that he gave himself freely on the cross.
Thank you for joining us. Spiritual Living in a Chaotic World is a ministry of St. Timothy Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Bedford, Texas. More information on the church and how you can watch live can be found at www.sttimothy-cpc.org. Pastor Dave can be found on Facebook and Twitter at Dave the Pastor. Until next time, may God richly bless you with the peace that passes all understanding.